Welcome to another episode of Army Real Talk, an Army Matters podcast from the Association of the U.S. Army. I am Nzinga Curry, Director of AUSA's Education and Program, and I am joined today with my fellow podcaster, AUSA Fellow, Lieutenant Colonel Brittany Lloyd. Army Real Talk segment has focused on many topics that are aimed to reach the younger generation of soldiers, leaders, and their family members, covering a range of topics addressing current issues like Army combat fitness tests, as well as highlighting accomplishments of the different units. And we had an opportunity to recently have a podcast on North Dakota's National Guard and their COVID response. So I'm really excited about today's show. So, Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's cold and snowy, but I'm inside and warm sitting by the fireplace.
That sounds wonderful. Now, I am still in the D.C. area enjoying a little bit of snow, about 4 inches over here in Maryland. And you are on travel, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. So I'm in Indiana, in the Indianapolis area right now, and it's been snowing for the last 2 days, and it's incredibly cold. I got down to 11 degrees this morning, and I think that's a bit colder than the D.C. area right now.
Absolutely. It is definitely colder. We have a wonderful podcast lined up for today, and we're going to talk about something pretty hot, you know, women and how we are moving forward and making waves. So I'm really excited about our Army Real Talk and being joined with the Center for Strategic International Studies, or CSIS, Smart Women, Smart Power. We are joined today by Ms. Beverly Kirk, who is the Fellow and Director for Outreach, International Security Programs, and Director of the Smart Woman, Smart Power Initiative. So, Ms. Kirk, how are you doing? Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Mrs. Curry. This is wonderful. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
So, we are just excited about Smart Women, Smart Power. And so I want our listeners to be just as excited. So could you share a little bit about CSIS Smart Women, Smart Power?
Absolutely. I'd be delighted to share about Smart Women, Smart Power. It's my favorite thing to talk about. And up front, I need to say that, yes, we're Smart Women, Smart Power, but we love smart men. Smart Women, Smart Power was started as a way to make sure that women experts in the areas of foreign policy, national and international security, international business, and international development had their voices heard and their expertise in these areas on display for all to see. A lot of times the default assumption, particularly in the security field, is that an expert is a man. Well, there are plenty of women experts out there, and when we started Smart Women, Smart Power back in the fall of 2014, the default assumption, if you went to listen to a discussion about a serious subject for a panel or an academic discussion, your panelists would all be men typically, and if there was a woman, she would be the moderator, not one of the panelists. So we decided to create Smart Women, Smart Power to provide a platform for women experts to display their leadership lessons and to talk about their experiences and share their knowledge with the next gen of security professionals and business leaders and development experts. So that's how it got started. We started with a podcast and then we expanded to high-level speaker series. We do 6 speaker series a year, but we do our podcast every other week. And we've hosted a lot of people that your listeners will be familiar with, including former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, the Senator from Iowa, Joni Ernst. We've hosted Valerie Jarrett. We've hosted Samantha Power. We hosted the famous Saudi activist, Manal al-Sharif, who was one of the early advocates of women being able to drive in Saudi Arabia. So it's a great, great program that I'm really proud of, and we just love making sure that accomplished women get their moment in the spotlight, or their many moments in the spotlight.
Very impressive. And you are definitely an accomplished woman. I see just looking at your bio that you have experience in journalism, multimedia design, have consulted for several major news outlets. I see why podcasts are pretty easy for you. And so I would love it if you would share a little bit more about who you are and how you are adding value to the initiative.
Certainly. I started my career as a journalist. I was a news reporter and news anchor for the better part of two decades. I studied history and broadcast journalism as an undergrad, and then in graduate school, I went on to study diplomacy and international commerce with an area of concentration in international politics and national security, which will make sense when I tell the story of how I got to where I am. I spent all the time working in journalism, and I covered politics and government, both locally and at the state level. And then I moved to Washington in 1997 to be a correspondent at NBC News for all of NBC's local affiliates across the country. And I had the opportunity to cover a lot of global issues while there. I moved from NBC to NPR and PBS, where I anchored NPR news headlines for PBS stations around the country. And then my last news job was back at a local affiliate here in Washington, WJLA 24/7, as it's now called. It used to be called WJLA News Channel 8. And then I got out of news because I wanted to put my master's degree more fully to use and focus a bit more on international security issues. And in the meantime, while I was making the pivot from television to the think tank world, I started my own business consulting on media issues. And I spent time, interestingly, with an education reform nonprofit covering how issues such as charter schools and homeschooling and vouchers were covered in the media. And that consulting gig led to a consulting gig at CSIS. Initially, I came in to CSIS to be the director of our Ideas Lab, which is our video and web design studio. Everything you see on the CSIS website is done in-house, from the videos to our specialty websites that cover issues such as missile threats or the nuclear nexus issues or our Defense 360 specialized website. We call them microsites. All of that work is done in-house, and I essentially project managed the video products and the web products that we were producing. And then in the fall of 2014, my then boss came to me and said, "You're the only person I have on staff who knows how to produce a podcast, and we have this new thing starting called Smart Women, Smart Power, and I'd like you to produce the podcast." And as they say, the rest is history. I really enjoyed it, and I then talked with the people who were running Smart Women, Smart Power to say, because at the time they didn't have anyone full-time working on it. I said, "I would love to do this full-time if you ever have a position or you ever want someone to do that." And 4 days after I made that statement, I got the job that I have now had for the past 6 years. But all of that to give your listeners kind of an idea of how I got from point A to point B. But really the connecting tissue is the ability to tell stories and the ability to put good information out into the public arena. Through Smart Women, Smart Power, we do it using women experts. In journalism, you just talk to all experts and then put it into a story form. So what I do today is not all that different from what I used to do. I just like to think that I changed vehicle for being a communicator.
That is, again, impressive. And we know closed mouths do not get fed. And you definitely spoke on necessary areas and issues and even spoke up for yourself. And this led you to where you are now. So I love how CSIS is spotlighting women. And I love the work that you have done over the years. And, AUSA's Army Real Talk, which is a segment of AUSA's Army Matters podcast, is an all-female team. So me and Lieutenant Colonel Brittany Lloyd are hosts of this segment. And I'm so excited, Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd, that you were selected as AUSA's fellow, which is a huge accomplishment. Prior, your assignment was working on a joint staff in Korea. So I would love to hear from you, Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd, about some of the things that you have done throughout your career as well, and some of the moments that are most proudest.
Thank you. I really enjoy being the AUSA Fellow. It was something that was presented as an opportunity in the Army broadening program that they offer, and I thought it would be a great opportunity for me to kind of continue down some of the path that I've done so far. You mentioned the joint staff in Korea. What I like to call those is kind of non-standard jobs. As you know, I'm a military police officer by trade. And the skills that I've learned over the years being military police, the law enforcement coordination, collaboration, security requirements, force protection initiatives, has really allowed me to do some kind of off-standard, off-color jobs, so to speak, that aren't just strictly military police jobs. The last job, I was working in the Provost Marshal cell, but it was with the Joint Staff, so it was U.S. Forces Korea. So I worked with all of the services, and it was also a combined staff. So we also had the Republic of Korea Army officers working on our staff as well. And in our Provost Marshal cell, there was five other military police Korean officers that worked with us. So it gave me an opportunity to not only look at the other services, see how the Army contributes and kind of where our strengths are, but also work with another country. So that was a really awesome opportunity. The job that I actually had before that, I was in Hawaii, and I was assigned to the United States Army Pacific headquarters. And they had, at the time while I was stationed there, a contingency command post. And it kind of does what it sounds. It's a command post designed to respond to contingencies, whether it's an emergency management type event, whether it's a response to some sort of national security event or any type of international flare. So what that command post did where I worked out, our primary focus was to engage and partner and train with militaries all throughout the Pacific. And that was the most probably amazing job that I've ever had. We worked with countries throughout the Pacific, Korea, Thailand, Japan, Malaysia, Vietnam, the Philippines. And it was quite an honor to be able to see and work with all these different countries and partner with them and conduct engagements. Before that, a lot of kind of traditional military police jobs, that just kind of groomed me for what I was able to do in these last two that I really enjoyed.
Excellent. And I must say that AUSA is just elated about having you part of the team during your fellowship. So thank you for all that you add to AUSA as well as the Army.
It's definitely been a pleasure, and thank you so much. I've had so much fun doing this podcast with you. That being said, not only are you the director of AUSA's education program, but you're also the founder of the Army Matters podcast series. What are some of the highlights that you would like to share today, or even some of the challenges that you've experienced trying to get this program up and running?
Let's see. How much time do we have? No, I'm kidding. So AUSA definitely continues to carry out or push out Army messaging. And so we work towards educating, informing, and connecting our members, the Army, as well as those concerned citizens who are interested in learning and being part of what the Army is doing. And so I am so delighted as the Director of Education and Programs Directorate to be able to push different programs out, such as our publications. We have research publications, but we also have, you know, spotlights and things of that nature that provide information about what the Army is doing in written form. Then we have wonderful, wonderful webinars that take place a couple of per month that is continuing to deliver the message, and they are called either Thought Leaders Webinar or the new report. And we have shifted very nicely during this COVID environment to provide webinars that really serve our community, continue to be a voice in talking about the different things that are going on in the Army virtually. You know, usually we will come in person and have opportunity to, you know, network and interact with people, but obviously we can't do that now, but we continue to carry out the mission. But then we have the connection aspect of it, and that's what we're doing now with this podcast, having the opportunity to connect with CSIS, Ms. Kirk, and other organizations that are like-minded, which provides the opportunity to collaborate and, you know, again, push out our messages. And when you talk about the Army Matters podcast, I can talk about challenges because in 2018, General Carter Ham, retired, who was AUSA's president and CEO, came to me and he said, Mzinga, I would like you to work on developing a podcast for AUSA. So, of course, I was looking at him like, oh, that sounds great, sir. But internally, I was a little nervous because in 2018, I was not really listening to podcasts at the rate that I'm listening to them now and didn't have a full understanding. But he invited me to go with him where he was being interviewed by another association. And from there, that really jump-started the opportunity to work towards building this podcast series. And so I originally started doing research, information interviews, but then I got smart and I pulled on my team, two wonderful ladies, and had an opportunity to just work with them And together we worked on developing this podcast series. And so throughout the 3 years we have been featuring or doing the podcast, we had had wonderful, wonderful segments and wonderful podcasts. And I'll highlight a few that we had last year, which include her story, looking at women who contributed to the Army story and who continue to contribute to the Army story. We featured Chief Retired Phyllis Wilson, as well as Sergeant Major Donna Brock. And they just enlightened me as well as our listeners, providing information about what is going on, how the woman's story continues to be told. And it was just such an exciting podcast. But we also had Major General Retired Malcolm Frost, who talked about Army recruiting and training during COVID. And so that was a really nice treat because he was talking about how Army continues to recruit and train during this pandemic. And so one of the things about our segment, as you know, Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd, is that we are really focusing on the younger generation, trying to make sure they understand what the Army has to offer. And then we are able to show and share, you know, the total Army. And so with that, I get excited about the different offerings that we will have this year. For example, we're going to push out a segment talking about culture of trust, project inclusion. And then next month is Women's Month. We'll have a panel and a discussion about women and, again, what they are doing in the Army. But we're going to hit it a little bit different, have a different angle this year, looking at some of the memorials and museums that have several offerings. So we're excited about that. And then last year, we had an opportunity to adopt a unit, which was the Blackjack Brigade. And so that was really successful. We had opportunity to follow along with the unit to see what they were doing when they were deployed to Poland and see the different missions and different things that they were doing throughout their service. And so this year we're going to do the same thing with adopting a unit with the Security Forces Assistant Brigade. So as you know, we have exciting things going on, but I will pause there and as far as talking about AUSA, and I really want to turn back to Ms. Kirk and learn a bit about what she had going on in 2020. You know, it was definitely a memorable year, and so I'm sure you had a nice amount of material to talk about and exciting guests to join you in 2020. So, Ms. Kirk, what went on with your podcast in 2020?
It was an incredible year for news, I have to say, and we were able to not only have conversations about what going on with the COVID-19 pandemic. But one thing I'm particularly proud of that we did a series back in the summer with our project on nuclear issues, the program that's directed by Rebecca Herzman. And we spotlighted what we called Pony Pathbreakers. We did a whole series of conversations with next gen younger women in the nuclear policy arena and more established women, kind of the people who were the trailblazers who charted a path forward in the early days. And that series was just, it was very informative for me personally, but it was just great to have these very experienced senior women, such as Rose Gottmuller, who is the former Deputy Director General over at NATO. She was in conversation with Heather Williams, who is this young nuclear scholar who most recently was at King's College London, and she's doing some work back here stateside for the next year or so, I believe. But their conversation about arms control and the changes that have occurred over the years was just phenomenal. And that's one episode of a series that I was really proud of. I suppose my favorite podcast that we did for 2020 was actually the very last one of the year, and it's our annual Look Back, Look Ahead. We do predictions, and then the following year we come back and say, so how did those predictions fare? And what was really fascinating in this podcast was that in 2019, Stephanie Siegel, who's in our economics program, had said that for the year 2020, the three issues that she would be watching would be China, China, China. And at the end of 2020, she came back on and she said, well, yes, China was definitely the issue that we all thought would be prevalent in 2020, but just not in the way that we had anticipated. And so that is actually my favorite podcast that we did. And as far as our live speaker series, which we take the audio from the live speaker series and turn all of those into podcasts, we were very excited to host Valerie Jarrett, and she talked about the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage back in the summer. And that was an absolutely fascinating conversation. So I hope that your listeners will go back into our archives and tune in. And along those same lines, we were also privileged to host the First Lady of West Virginia, Kathy Justice, and the philanthropist, Elaine Wynn, for a live event, but also turned into a podcast. And they talked about the devastating impact of the COVID-19 epidemic as complicated by the opioid crisis in West Virginia and in Nevada, where Mrs. Wynn lives. And that was another really interesting, very informative conversation that I'm quite proud of. So that was 2020 in a nutshell for us.
Wow, that was quite an impressive lineup. And how exciting to be able to interact and connect with all of these women across the globe. Do you guys have any upcoming themes or specific guests for 2021 that you're especially excited about?
One thing that we have coming up for Women's History Month in March that you mentioned earlier, we are going to do a special series with the group Girl Security, which focuses on young women in high school and all throughout the educational years, even going back to junior high and elementary school. If they're interested in national security issues and defense issues, they participate in programming through their schools and through the organization Girl Security. And we have three of them who are going to do the Smart Women, Smart Power podcast with women who they admire. So we're going to start recording those special podcasts, and they will all air during Women's History Month. So I'm really excited to give these young women an opportunity to talk with their heroes on security issues that are really of concern to them. So that's something that I'm looking forward to this year in 2021. Something else I'm really excited about is on February 9th, we are going to talk with Kathy Warden, who is the CEO of Northrop Grumman, whom I'm sure your listeners are familiar with. But we're going to talk about defense in the 21st century and the issues and challenges that are ahead for the defense industry this year. And so I'm particularly excited about that event. And then we've just booked for March 8th, International Women's Day, Gail Limon, who is the author of the forthcoming book called Daughters of Kobani, about the Kurdish women in northeast Syria who fought off ISIS. And really excited to have the conversation with her about that. So that's just a few of the things that we have on tap for 2021.
Those sound exciting, but very informative, and will obviously keep your listening audience aware. But we want our listening audience to tap into what you have to offer so that they can be aware of national security and international affairs as well. You know, I really appreciate the opportunity for us to unite and share a bit about both podcasts as well as both of our organizations and all the offerings. And so I thank you, Ms. Kurt, as well as Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd, for joining me today and sharing a bit about your accomplishments as well as, again, the organization. And so I am really excited about what AUSA's Army Real Talk, Army Matters has to offer, but also what CSIS, Smart Women, Smart Power Initiative has to offer in 2021. Thank you, ladies, so much.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's Professional Association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah!